Good afternoon. Can you hear me? I usually read my homilies because I'm not as good as these priests, but I'm going to take a chance this time. The word epiphany, which is the celebration we're here for, second meaning is an aha moment, a kind of an insight into something from a different angle. But the first definition is actually this feast day. And so the public secular world kind of absconded with the term and uses it in a same similar way, and that is, it's the epiphany, the aha moment of Jesus coming. And the first reading today talks about Jesus, the prophecy of the Magi and the star showing where the Savior is going to be born. The second reading talks about Jesus coming being for not just the Jews but also the Gentiles. And of course, the third, the gospel, talks about the actual happening, where the star appeared and the Magi followed it to lead them to Jesus, this epiphany of hope. But I would like today to suggest that epiphanies happen in our day and age. They happen all the time. We're just not listening. We're not attentive. So I would like to talk to you about a story where I witnessed these epiphanies, and I'm sure we all have to a certain extent. In 2015, I was blessed to be party to putting together a team to teach religion to one of the public universities in Cuba for the first time in over 56 years in the revolution. And we did it through the medical community. And it was a blessing. And I learned a certain form of contemplative prayer at a monastery. And the leader of this conference gave us a whole day on spirituality and health, which was mainly medical research, and then asked if I would teach the contemplative prayer practice, which I thought was a little bit of a surprise to me. I'm assuming most of them were atheists, but I don't know. And so we proceeded. And the organizer of the conference is an MD, PhD neuroscientist, and his daughter and his son-in-law are both MD neuroscientists. And she showed up, and she was a pretty religious person, and she invited her, I quote, atheist neuroscience friends, and she had a profound out-of-body experience. I mean profound. And she explained this to those neuroscientists, and I watched their jaws drop. My jaw dropped. I've seen this happen. I've taught it to hundreds. We practice it here at Monday nights. There's a centering prayer group. And so I became friends with the three of them, the organizer and his daughter and her husband. And we were inspired from that to do research on brain scans of people in the effects of prayer in the brain, fMRI, EEG, whole neuroscience stuff. And December 3rd through the 12th, I was in Cuba, 2018, a few weeks ago. And was invited to give a presentation on the neuroscience effects of prayer on the brain in conjunction with the team. And I was inspired to initiate the research and try to raise money here, but the team was really those three people. And at the end of the conference, the lady, Janine, and her husband, Mauricio, asked me to come to their home and teach contemplative prayer. And so I came to their home, and it was a modest home, and they welcomed me. I got there early because I was afraid the taxi may not find the place, and they gave me a little heads up on who was coming. It was going to be about seven family members, and one of them, they gave me a warning, suffered severely from Parkinson's disease and was descending into depression because it robs them of their sleep. So they get sleep deprivation, then they go into depression. And he was getting the attacks all night. So the seven showed up. I shook their hand, including the Parkinson's patient, which I will say is Jose. And Jose shook my hand calmly. We all sat down calmly. And I had 10 to noon to do this at their home. And their dog entered the room and started to jump in everybody's lap, and it knew everybody except me. And it jumped into Jose's lap, and that triggered a Parkinson's freeze episode. I You've seen them before. I'm sure it's like a grand mal seizure if you're not technically oriented. And his arms went up in the air. His legs stiffened out. His fingers and his hands were contorting. The two MDs jumped up to try to help him. His wife sitting next to him jumped up to try to help him, to no avail. And by this time, it was 11 o'clock, and I realized if I was going to do this, we're going to have to do it. And it's based on an ancient prayer practice that's been going on in monasteries and convents for centuries, back to Jesus' time and the 4th century desert fathers and mothers. So it's very grounded in history in our church. And so I say, well, let's begin. Now, I had a little whispering conversation with God. I talk to God. We debate things sometimes. I always try to let him win the argument. It's a good idea. And so I said to myself, God, what are you doing here? How do you expect me to teach this to this guy that's going like that? Is this going to, what do you want me to do? But we started anyway. And I gave the explanation for 20 minutes. I don't speak Spanish. It was translated by Mauricio. And meanwhile, he's still deep into this Parkinson's attack. And I explained the essence of it, and that is basically letting go of your thoughts and focusing on a sacred word, which is a symbol of your desire to be with God. Basically, you're saying, I'd rather be with you, God, than even my own thoughts, because we are more than our thoughts. It came time to start. I hit a gong on my app phone, and I started like I usually do, be still and know that I am God. And then I whittle the words down until I get to be, and then we begin in silence for 20 minutes. In silence. I've seen this happen. The animals in the room will go quiet. Dog went quiet. I've seen this happen with animals. They engage when they know there's silence. And I didn't go as deep as I usually do when I'm teaching it. I try to kind of observe a little bit to see if everybody's doing okay. Everybody went deep. And within minutes, Jose went silent and at peace. I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. I put my head in my hands and wept silently out of a catharsis. I just was stunned. And at the end of the 20 minutes, I brought everybody out of the prayer very gently, but especially quietly, because I wanted to let Jose stay there if he wanted to. And I do that by saying the Our Father very slowly. Everybody came out, and Jose stayed in that space for another 15 minutes in deep prayer to God. His wife looked at him. Tears were coming down her eyes. She had to leave the room to cry. The two MDs said, we've never seen anything like this. I can guarantee you, I've never taught this to somebody in a grand seizure like that. And as I brought him out, I said, we have witnessed the infinite loving embrace of God. This was an epiphany. This is what an epiphany means. I said to Mauricio, I said, this is your next research project. Now, that's in the spirit of from a neuroscience standpoint, basically the divine healer was letting him refocus his attention on God and away from the seizure. Sometimes these things feed each other. And so that's in the spirit of what St. Augustine said, and that is a miracle is not an exception to the laws of nature. It merely means that we're not knowledgeable completely about the laws of nature. And then Jose started to come out. And his first words, and Mauricio translated, was, I have been searching my whole life for this, and I finally found it. Then he came up to me 12 inches from my face, 12 inches, and unloaded in Spanish his passionate experience. I listened attentively, even though I don't understand Spanish. I looked over at Mauricio when he was done, and he said he was baptized originally, but was purged of his belief in God right after the revolution, 59 years ago, and had been an atheist. And he found God. I contend God found him. God was always right there within him. He never focused. He never let go of all of this ruminations, this stuff that we do with our thinking. Even our prayer life can get that way. This was the grand epiphany. That's what an epiphany is. We got to look for these epiphanies in our life, not just in the history books. I came back on the 12th, and on the 16th, I baptized a baby right there. And to show you how epiphanies are like ripples in water, and they just propagate. We don't know where God takes all of these miracles, but I got to tell you, I came back like I had found a pearl of great price, and I couldn't wait to share it with everybody. And so I came back, and I reached the point in the baptism where I do a brief homily. It's a canned homily, I have to admit. And I thought, last minute, I decided to tell this story. And an elder, about 15 family members were there, and an elderly lady had tears rolling down her eyes. And I didn't know what it was about. And then at the end, we walked to the center, to the front of the altar for pictures. And the mother of the child leaned over to me, and that was her mother that was crying, by the way. That was the grandmother of the child. She leaned over to me, and she said, "We are Cuban. We are Cuban." The epiphany of love that God has is so infinite, we can't possibly grasp it.